All right, welcome to another episode of the Couch Coaches Podcast, where we talk about everything going on in sports. And we just had a pretty wild Lakers game that they were absolutely manhandling them the whole game. And then all of a sudden they got really close in the fourth quarter. So we even pushed back the start of the time so we could just, I was hoping that we would push it back and we could come on here and say how the Lakers lost, make fun of Deke and Greg, all that stuff. But they definitely pulled it out in the end. And then we got the Dubs game starting right now. So since we're in playoff mode, so one, congratulations to the Lakers for, you guys get to go play Denver now. Congratulations on that. Good luck. But which leads me perfectly into the first topic of tonight. Like, realistically, and I'm stressing the word realistically, is there anybody in either conference that's going to take out Denver or the Celtics? Deke and Greg, you got the hat on. You guys just got the victory. Is there anybody, realistically, again, let me stress that, that can take out Denver in the East, or Denver in the West, or the Celtics in the East? Please.
Well, I'll start out in the East with the Celtics. The Celtics, well, they're like got 12 games up on everybody in the East. They're playing good ball, but the thing about the Celtics is they let you hang around. They don't just, you know, and the playoffs is, like Bill liked to say, playoffs is a different animal. And if you let them hang around, anything could happen. And I think Giannis is out. I don't know what his status is, when he's coming back or what, but I would think, you know, the Knicks are trying to make a run at a second seed, but I just really don't see the Knicks making that move. But I would say I would keep an eye on the Sixers. They just got Joel Embiid back, and his, I can't think of his running mate. I can't think of the name right now, but he's playing ball also. They got, and if it just depends on the health of Joel Embiid. If he gets back and get his legs under him and is able to play, I think without Giannis, that the Sixers would be the team to keep an eye on. Only because the Celtics, they just let you hang around way too much for me.
So you think it's more of the, almost like a fault of the Celtics than there's another team that's like, that really should be competing with them?
Well, that's part of your makeup, though. I won't say it's a fault. That's just who you are. That's not right. A fault. That's just who you are.
It's not, you know, a plus to let people hang around.
And then, and like I say, it's the playoffs now. So you know, you can get away with a few of those games in the regular season, but in the playoffs, it's everything counts.
All right, now let me guess who could take out Denver in the West. Can I guess?
Okay, in the West, the Lakers. And you can't count out OKC because, I mean, everybody's dismissing them. They're young, blah, blah, blah. They got a number one seed for a reason. So you can't just totally dismiss them. But I'm going to say my Lakers. The Lakers, over the last, 20 games, they're like, I think they're something like 14-6 or something like that. They've been on a pretty good roll. And they finally got their, I like the offensive set they're running. I'm watching their offensive set. They run that high screen. They come down and they run a high screen with the off ball, the post. They got some action going on offense. I used to hate their offense because all they did was just dribble the ball around and then somebody take a desperate shot. They actually run a set offense now in the half court. And as we were talking earlier, the Joker's going to get his. The Joker's going to get his. But I think LeBron, if LeBron can keep this youth movement that he's got going, if he can keep that and make Aaron Gordon pay and score, keep up, balance out that scoring, I think we could be pretty. I think I'm not taking nothing from my Lakers. Everything's on the table, and the Lakers are on a roll.
You want LeBron to go against our San Jose representative in the NBA playoff?
That's my homeboy, but hey, that's my team. You know, my Lakers is my Lakers. Can't go against them.
All right, hey, brother Bill, if you could start in the West, is there anybody that you see realistically, stressing the realistically part, can take out Denver?
I would say, to quote Joe Tyler from My Cousin Vinny, Deacon Hill, that was a well thought out and thoughtful and very lucid argument you gave for your Los Angeles Lakers. Denied. Ain't no way the Lakers are going to beat Denver in a series unless there's an injury, unless Jamal Murray forgets how to play, unless the Joker decides he's not going to be the focal part of the offense. As good as the Lakers are, it's matchups. And although last year it was close, the Lakers, I mean, there are a couple of games that could have gone either way. I'll give you that. But they say in order to be a champion, you got to beat a champion. And I just can't see how, unless LeBron goes for 50 a night, unless D'Angelo Russell all of a sudden starts getting 20-something a night. He got a few buckets tonight, but can he do that consistently in a series? What happened towards the end of the season, that doesn't matter anymore. And you even quote me by saying what happens in the regular season has no bearing on the playoff in a series when you're playing the same team game after game. I'll give the Lakers maybe two games. Maybe it goes six, but I just can't see it. I mean, Aaron Gordon isn't going to be the reason why Denver wins or loses that series. Jamal Murray is the heartbeat of that team. The Joker is the centerpiece. Jamal Murray makes that team go. He's the engine that makes that team go. I just can't.
The reason I said Aaron Gordon, because it's his defense. He can shut you down. And LeBron can't let him shut him down. LeBron got to go off. LeBron has to get at least 20, 25 points a night. And I can say our backcourt is playing a whole lot better. D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves are playing. So, it's going to be okay. All right. Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
All right. So, but do you see anybody that could take out?
You're right. Let me ask a question. Yeah. So once the Lakers are out in five or six games, Denver is going to have the winner of the 4-5 matchup. And that's where it gets interesting between the Clippers and Dallas. And I can't – the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, I would give a boxer's chance just because he's Kawhi versus a Denver-Dallas team that's good for offense. But realistically, I can't see a team being able to hold Denver down in a series. I just can't see it.
But, Bill, can I ask you one quick question?
Go ahead. You can ask.
Do you know how many times did the Lakers beat the Clippers this year? And then you're going to
season.
But you're going to give them a boxer's chance. You won't even give my team a boxer's chance, but you're going to give them a boxer's chance.
What happened last year? What happened last year in the series, Deacon Hill?
Last year. This team is gelled better. They're playing better. I don't see how you can't see that, but they're playing better than they were playing last year. And you won't even give us up. You gave the Clippers a boxing chance.
I said I gave y'all six.
That's not a boxer's chance, though. You're not saying that we can win. You're giving the Clippers a chance to win.
I didn't say y'all going to get swept by like you did last year. Come on, man. I'm trying to give y'all some dap, and you're just throwing it back. Now, if y'all get swept, I'm going to have my whisk broom. I'm going to have my Hoover. I'm going to have all my sweepers ready if y'all get swept this year. I'm trying to give y'all a couple of games. You better just take the couple of games.
If we get swept, I'll come on with a broom.
If y'all get swept, I want to see you on a Dubs hat. That's what I want to see.
That will never happen.
I like that better.
There you go. Okay, come on. Put your money where your mouth is. Come on, man.
If we get swept, I will come on with a broom. Like I'll be like Bo and I'll break it like that.
on your head or your knee?
On my head.
Okay. Whichever one is harder.
All right. All right. Switching to the East. Is there anybody that can take out the Celtics?
No, I can't see it because I don't think there's any team in the East that has the defense to guard the Celtics threes when they're at home. The Celtics are a very good home team. And even though they still lack that point guard and crunch time, I think the difference is just going to be the Celtics scoring when they get rolling. I mean, the Heat upset them last year, and I didn't see that coming. But there's not a team in the East that I can see. Philly, sure, with Embiid, but Philly, I don't know that they're strong enough defensively to be able to get one against the Celtics in Boston.
You don't think there's going to be any surprise? I mean, last year the Heat went to they barely made it into the playoffs and they went all the way. You think there's going to be any surprises this year? Besides the Lakers,
Heat or just from any of the teams, you mean?
Okay.
No, yeah, I can answer him again. I think, you know, they say defense wins championships and the Celtics regular season, sure. Like I said, in a series, once they get to the second round, if they get to the conference finals, we'll just have to wait and see. But I think it's their conference, I think, to lose as opposed to someone being able to take it from them.
Yeah, I almost wonder if they're going to get through too easily if there's kind of a harder challenge, you're a little more tested going into the finals. I would think that would be better for the finals. And to me, I'm not seeing a whole lot of resistance in the East just with injuries, or with kind of injuries, or I don't see it at all. Anyway, yeah.
The Giannis injury tilted the scales against the Milwaukee Bucks as being a possible team who I think could give the Celtics a run for the money, because they've been there, they've done that. I mean, sure, they lost who's their one guard who's good on defense. I'm drawing a blank now, but they have their championship core still. But Giannis not 100%. That's going to be a tough road.
And it sounds like he's got.
What is his status? What is his injury? I haven't really followed.
So the last thing I saw was that they are prepping for him not playing, and it's basically what KD had his last year with the Warriors. Mm. It's like a calf strain, but it's when he first got injured, they thought it was an Achilles. So it's in that area. Mm. But it could just be sportsmanship. But I read that they're planning on playing without him, which is not good.
Just for the first round?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, at least for the first round.
Wow.
So sticking with basketball, we've been talking about a lot on this show, and the NCAA women's tournament, just the last 2 years has just totally blown up. And especially this year. I mean, even the draft, they said the draft got like just crushed all the records for any draft they've had before. I didn't even know when the WNBA season was until today when we were talking in WNBA season and we were talking about what subjects we're going to talk about. Will your interest personally in the NCAA tournament, will that transfer to watching more WNBA games for their upcoming season, which I guess starts in the summer? Brother Bill, I'll start with you.
I think it would depend on where players go, because I only even know by name only a handful of the teams anyways. And so, like, I didn't see whether or not Angel Reese, you know, got drafted in the first round.
Chicago.
I know Caitlin Clark went to Indiana. I know, what's your name? The center for Stanford. You know, she got drafted. So to answer your question, I would watch more just for certain players than I would a team, only because I just don't know the teams.
Yeah, and I guess Caitlin Clark.
Cameron Brink was a person. Yeah.
I guess there's 40 games, and like 34 or 36 of Indiana's games because of Caitlin Clark are going to be televised. So she'll be easy to find for sure. Deacon Hill, how about you?
You know, my answer is similar to Brother Bill's. Angela Reese and Cardoza, they got drafted to the same team. Who was that?
Chicago.
Yeah. So, and just like you said, I will follow those teams. I'll follow Chicago, and I will follow the Sparks, LA Sparks. They're always a top team, and they picked up that other guard. So I'll follow them just to see what those stars do. And then as you're following those teams, if that league, you know, piques your interest, if it's still good, then you start to follow it more. But just for the beginning, I will follow those just to see how those star players are playing, how their game translates over into the WNBA. But I thought that was huge that Cardoza and Reese got on the same team.
That's a heck of a draft.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I mean, what are GMs for these teams doing to not pick one of them and they're still on the board by the time Chicago picks again? Unless Chicago had, you know, picks like relatively close to each other or something.
They did. I mean, they were both in the top 10.
Yeah, they went. Where'd they go? I know Reese went 7. Did she go 4? Did Cardoza go 4?
I think so. Yeah,
4 and 7 or something like that.
Mm. They're gonna be a nightmare in the paint. Jeez, you better. Well, and the only person that can 100% beat that is Caitlin Clark. She's going nowhere near the paint. What? Okay. And I don't know if you guys, I'm kind of dropping this on you guys without bringing it up before. What do you think it is about Caitlin Clark that is just blown up with her popularity and then kind of, you know, helping the NCAA women's tournament and then helping now it's going to be helping the WNBA because they're going to have so many televised games. Like what is it about her game that seems to connect with people that other players hasn't connected with?
I said it before. I think she's almost like a female version of Steph Curry. It's just her energy and the way she moves up and down that court. She makes all the other players better around her. And then and she can shoot. She'll get her shot off. She can hit that three. I don't know how well that her offense is going to transfer over into the WNBA because the girls are bigger and faster and stronger and all that stuff. But she'll always have that energy, and she'll always be able to distribute the ball. I think, you know, and of course, then she'll – I think her game will start to round out. But I think she ain't going to miss a beat as far as getting up and down the court and being able to distribute that ball.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I think what raised the interest is, you know, you're two-time player of the year. And like Deacon Greg said, you know, when Steph Curry, what he did in the tournament his last year at Davidson, I mean, that put him on the map leading into the NBA because he was an unknown. I mean, he went to Davidson, right? And then what to get all the way to, what, the Sweet 16 and just hitting lights out? I mean, that got him noticed, right? I mean, outside of Davidson. And then that translated to the Warriors once the Warriors got better, once they got players. And so I think with Caitlin Clark, similar story, right? A prolific three-point shooter, which was rarity in women's college basketball, right? You had some players who could shoot threes, but not like she was. I mean, points leader and all of that. So all the statistically, yeah, she became a phenom. And so I think agree with Deacon Hill. We talked about this before. How that translate into a professional league with other professional players, veterans, different defensively. We'll see. I expect her to make Indiana better. The question is there going to be an expectation about them being, you know, a championship caliber team, you know, within the next, you know, X number of years? We'll see.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm watching her play, and I was trying to, you know, I'm trying to process, like, why do I care? I mean, I've never really, you know, I'll get to like the Elite Eight or the Final Four. I'll watch the women's games pretty consistently every year. But like this show is like, I'm going to watch a, you know, like the round of 32, watch the Caitlin Clark game. And it feels like when you're watching her play, because she plays outside, well, I mean, she's so prolific outside. It feels like it's more like watching what we watch when we watch like the NBA. It feels like it, like when, you know, when they go inside and they're like, the chicks aren't like dunking and stuff. And it's a, you know, they move a little slower on the inside and the drives to the hoop are a little, you know, it's a little different than the men's game. But when I'm watching her play, it's like her shot, like you could throw Steph out there and it would look similar. You know, that her record breaking shot looked like something that Steph does. He's way off the 3-point line and just launches it. And because he's on fire, it goes in and it looks very similar. And I think that helps where it's, you're watching, you're able to watch that, and it's very similar to what you watch when we watch like a Warriors game or something. And I think Deacon Hill, go ahead.
I was gonna say her passing is amazing though. She's dropping dimes. Mm-hmm. My wife's like, what is a dime? I was like, I tried to explain to her what is dropping a dime, but she puts the ball on them, you know, whether it's like she's throwing the ball all the length of the court or whether she's penetrating and dishing. That's what I love about her game. That's what I think. That's what's going to, I'm going to be wanting to see in the WNBA, the way she gets her teammates involved. You know,
that was one thing they were talking about is like her Iowa team wasn't like stacked with 5-star athletes. So she's taking 3 stars and taking them to the finals 2 years in a row. I mean, granted, you're well coached, all that's all, you know, you have to have all those things, but now she's going to have all top tier people. I mean, whether Indiana's, you know, at the drafting first or drafting last, it's they're pro players. Mm-hmm. And her being able to dish it out to, I don't want to say real, a little cold, but like dish it out to real players is going to be, that's going to be crazy. I mean, granted, I don't know what they're going to do with Chicago with those two chicks on the inside, but other than them, it's, you know, the passing is going to be sweet.
Hey, Dean Greg, so if my sister, you know, your wife, you know, wants to be familiar with what a dime is, tell her to start watching some Warriors games because we're good for about 30 dimes a game.
Well, we need a couple of dimes right now. We're down 10. We need a handful.
I'll tell her. She'll get it from me, and she won't be getting it from the Warrior game.
All right, and moving to football, but not draft stuff because we got to save that for when we get even closer to the draft. Spring football, the spring football leagues. They've been trying to kind of get this going. They started a couple before COVID and kind of tapped out, and now they, I don't know, whatever, they sold to The Rock, and then they combined with the other one, and now we have we have spring football coming up. I love football so much. I am obnoxiously into football during the season. I don't do things on days with good games. I look at people crazy when they plan stuff on like a Sunday afternoon and the Niners are playing. I don't get it. I have zero interest in spring football at all. I was telling you guys before we started, it feels like Christmas in July. I also love Christmas, but I like Christmas where Christmas is supposed to be, and I like football where football is supposed to be. And it may be just me, and maybe it's because there's such kind of a desert, a sports desert in the spring that it'll work because people are just like, I got to watch something, so it might as well be this. Maybe that's the thing, and they're only looking for, you know, a million viewers a game. I have no interest, and I'm a huge football fan. I'm curious what you guys think about the spring football leagues. Deacon Greg, I'll start with you.
I have to agree with you. I you know, they've tried it before. And they tried the USFL and they tried different leagues. You know, I remember way back when they had the San Jose Tigers or something they used to have back way
Sabercats.
Sabercats.
Oh, the Arena League? Yeah.
No, this is before that.
Okay.
This is before the Sabercats. Wait, this is probably before you two kids were born. No. They should play at Powell Stadium over there on King Road. It was the San Jose Tigers.
They played at Powell? Yeah,
they played at Powell Stadium. That was way back in the day. Anyway, none of that stuff ever worked. My thing is, and even the arena football and even Canadian football, I like to watch the best of the best. And I'm thinking if these guys are good, they would be in the NFL. So I don't want to be watching, you know, I call it like semi-pro to me, and I'm not into semi-pro football. So, no, I probably will not be watching.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I agree with Deacon Greg. I mean, the three sports that I watch year-round are football, basketball, and tennis, be honest. I mean, granted, and I would throw baseball in there as well, you know, but I think I follow sports and sports teams, not just for the sport itself, but for the story for players, because over time there are stories that start to develop around kind of the character of a team and of certain players that make following the team exciting, right? And so with these other leagues, with the Sabercats, with the XFL, I mean the Arena League XFL, there's no story to kind of grab my attention and hold me. And even if I was watching a few games over the local team, it would take me some time to watch. And that would be take time away from other things that I'm doing. So springtime, you know, I mean, I'm watching, you know, the French Open and Wimbledon. I'm like I said, tennis. So because that's my break in between NFL and basketball. So
Yeah. And I feel it's like not even watching college football. It's like watching preseason, but even these guys aren't even in preseason. You know what I mean? Like it's not even that. It's like watching D2 football. I mean, granted, I know these guys are better than that, but it's like if they were good, they wouldn't be playing there. I mean, like it's not like there's not a ton of NFL roster spots. It's not like basketball where it's pretty limited. Like there's a ton of spots, and these guys aren't in any of those spots. It's mediocre football.
Yeah, it's not that they aren't talented or aren't competitive. It's just it's a brand of football that is second tier to NFL, right? NFL is a major football sport, and then you have something that's a second tier from that. So it's, I don't know. It's like I said, I would have to intentionally watch, you know, for a couple of seasons to get some interest and then decide from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's competitive. It's because both of their levels are low and equal with each other. All right.
Warriors down by 9, first quarter. Not a good first quarter.
That's right. We're waiting. The third quarter is our quarter. We got, don't worry. We got this. We're going to go get OKC. Yeah. I'm a little worried. I'm not going to. So, all right. Since we're losing right now, we got about 9 minutes left. If we just get dropped tonight, do we break up the team? Even if we don't get dropped tonight and we make it to the, you know, let's say we make the playoffs and we play OKC and they get beat by OKC. Do we keep what we got going the last couple of years? Brother Bill, I'm going to start with you since you got the beautiful jacket on.
Yeah, if I'm the GM, I mean, if I'm Lake Cup, that's a hard question to answer, because I think it starts, I think, with two main players. I mean, Draymond, I don't think is even tradable. I mean, they've got him. He just signed a new deal last year, and I don't even think that he's tradable. So they probably still keep Draymond. And then the other question is about Klay, you know, whether Klay stays. If Klay goes, then you're talking about a completely different team to fill what he does, and are they even championship caliber? I think if I'm a betting man, I would say it's long odds that Klay stays, unless he has a very good postseason, starting with tonight and then the next game, just to get into the playoffs. So, I mean, if I was a betting man, I would bet, unless they go far in the playoffs, this playoffs, that there's going to be significant changes in the offseason.
If you're the GM, do you have the same sentiments?
If I want to win now, if I want to stay relevant now while Steph still has something left and want to be competitive, I think it's going to be a move that Lakers will be forced to make. Yeah.
Okay. Deacon Hill.
Yeah, I agree with Brother Bill. And I was hearing some other things about you know, of course, Klay would be, like you said, Draymond, his contract, there ain't nobody going to touch that anyway. So you're kind of like stuck with him. I think that, I don't know why you guys did that, but, you know, you did it. And Wiggins.
DPOY, man, that's why. You want him back in 2022. You have to take the bad with the good, unfortunately, with him, but that's why.
Okay. Well, I've been telling you guys this for a couple of years that he was done, but you guys, okay, keep on keeping the bad with the good. But anyway, and Wiggins, I heard Wiggins is going to be one to be moved also. So, yeah, I think if you guys make an early exit and out of here, that, yeah, there are going to be some changes. And I think those are the two names that you guys will be looking at is Wiggins and Klay. And, you know, unfortunately, I feel the saddest part is Curry. He's like stuck in no man's land right now. What do you do?
Yeah, the thing that gets me is when you hear about like the NBA rumors, and it could just be people making stuff up or whatever, but people that supposedly have information talk about them trying to trade for another superstar. And to me, it's like, bro, we don't have the team. Like, you could trade whoever for the superstar, but you have two superstars and nothing else. I'm like, and to me, that mentality, like, that's not building a team. That's just like, that's like throwing money at a problem. Like, it doesn't. I mean, maybe it makes you a little bit more competitive, but the West is not looking bad. And it's not, I mean, the Lakers are a play-in team. We're a play-in team. Like, the West is good. Like, so just dropping another superstar, and there's not, I mean, so we're going to go to the sixth seed? We're going to be maybe saying,
the Lakers, this is one of the better season winning records in a long, long time. And like I said, they barely made a play-in with a record like that.
I mean, the Clippers have like the 2014 All-Star game on their team, and they're not, what are they doing? They'll probably get bounced out in the first round.
Yeah. And I think what made this season unique is you had so many relatively new teams who had success throughout the season, right? You had OKC, you had the Pelicans, you know, you had Minnesota, three teams that have typically been towards the bottom half of the league year after year. And so by them playing so well, you know, and the West became stacked. So even with, you know, teams like the Lakers and the Warriors to have, you know, in other seasons would be, you know, a decent record, but because you've got all these other teams who are even better, yeah, that pushes them down to the 9 and 10 seed.
Yeah, if
it wasn't for the play-in, neither the Lakers or the Warriors would even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I heard some commentary. They're like, man, they shouldn't even have the play-in because you have the whole season to get in. It's like, yeah, but if you didn't have the play-in, you'd be missing some pretty big superstars like right off the bat. NBA does not want that.
Well, not even that. It's that the teams were folded in. The last 15 games of the season, everybody would just go. You know, go home and pack it in, you know. So now they got to play all the way down to the wire, you know, those like the last five or six teams got to play or they're going home.
Yeah. The play-in made the latter part of the season mean something, where in years past, Deacon Hill is right. And depending on where you were, you could just, you know, Cancun is already on your mind with, you know, a few weeks left in the season.
Yeah, I mean the Warriors. We've been talking about this a month ago. I mean, that sounds terrible. So I'm all for the play-in. Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we're still talking about the Warriors next week. Okay. I'm gonna keep my fingers crossed. Not a great start, but
Joe, before we go,
yes,
I just want to take my hat off to Tiger Woods and the Masters. Everybody's been giving him a hard time. He finished dead last, 16 yeah. over. But yeah. I, you know what I was impressed with? I kept telling my wife, I hope he doesn't quit. I hope he comes back, because a lot of times when he's down a lot, he don't come back the next day. He got something going on, or his leg hurt, and then his, you know, he got the flu or something. But he kept playing all the way to the end, and I just like, you know, the fact that he kept playing, and plus that builds on, you know, for the next time he comes out. You know, the only way he's going to get, you know, endurance, that's what he needs, because he can still hit the golf ball. He just don't have the endurance to play, you know, so he got to keep playing. So I just want to take my hat off that he didn't quit and he kept playing.
Yeah, that dude's body has had – he's put that body through – I mean, before the car accident, I mean, his back was – I had a client that was a spine surgeon, and we did a couple of videos about talking about just the work he had done. It's – considering – golf is all your whole is obviously like the whole movement's your spine, man. That dude's been through a ton.
And they say like the Masters, that's the toughest, Bill, that's the toughest course to walk. That was equivalent to walking 17 miles up and down hills for 4 days. 17 oh. miles.
Okay, that's good. Okay. If I want to walk 17 miles, you know what I'm doing?
Driving.
I'm walking 17 miles.
I'm just gonna walk 17 miles. I don't need a bag and a ball for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you imagine that without a caddy? Yeah. Lug all those. Oh my gosh. I mean, all right, well, I'm gonna. Go ahead. I got my fingers crossed. We'll be all basketball next week, and we got the NFL draft coming up, so we're gonna be doing some draft stuff. But Deacon Hill, congratulations on moving on. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, a lot of NFL, the Warriors, did y'all name a starting quarterback yet? I mean, the Raiders?
We're not there yet, okay? Don't worry
okay,
about
okay,
it.
Okay, okay, okay.
Don't worry about
just
it.
Ask him, just ask
yeah,
him.
We have all next season to turn
you
on.
You know, I was watching an interview with Purdy the other day, and it kept freezing. I said, just like Purdy, it just freezes.
Bro.
But, everybody was saying that the Lakers should fold in because they didn't want to face Denver. Oh, that fold, you know, no, stupid. That's not what we do. Okay.
Yeah. That would be insane. Because for you never know what's going to happen the next game.
Exactly.
We get
4 days rest and we'll be fresh and ready to go.
Fresh as a 40-year-old LeBron could be. All right. See you guys next week. Hopefully with the Warriors.
All right. See ya.